At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, I like to kick off all these shows the right way. I'm not going to be here the whole time. I'm not going to be here very long at all. But who would I be? It would be promotional malpractice to not kick off this show in the right way for the viewers. And really, the only way to do that is the same way that I kick off every single morning. By eating Magic Spoon. That's right. Magic Spoon cereal. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. And now it's one of the best parts of being an adult. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, unhealthy food. And cereal was one of those things that I gave up. Also, being nice to Jeremy Lambert and Joe Hulbert. But this, the fortunate thing is, there is nothing detrimental to my health about eating Magic Spoon. Being nice to Jeremy and Joe, that's a whole different story. You know what Jeremy and Joe don't have? Four flavors. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, or blueberry. They're just boring and vanilla. That's all Joe and Jeremy are. Maybe the flavor of duty here and there. But Magic Spoon tastes amazing. It's too good to be true. Zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. And if you ask Magic Spoon to shave, it won't do it. Not like Jeremy. I mean, actually, he was asked not to shave and he did it. So you know what? If you ask Magic Spoon to not shave, I personally guarantee you, Sean Ross Sapp, that your cereal will not be shaved. And my favorite thing about Magic Spoon is that it fills you up with one serving. You don't have to go back to the box and dump out half of it just to get full. And that doesn't even get you full. Let's be real. Let's be honest. It doesn't work like that. But one serving of Magic Spoon gets it done for you. At least it does for me. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And if you go to magicspoon.com/Fightful, you can grab a variety pack and try it today. Use our promo code FIGHTFUL at checkout to get free shipping. They are so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. I got to breathe. I'm getting too excited about this deal. If you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people will have a lot of questions on this show. Make sure you donate a super chat. They'll get read. And enjoy, Phil, and try to tolerate Jeremy Lambert. Goodbye.
He spends the whole intro burying me, and then he gives me 5 shows a week. He's like, and they're vanilla. Him and Joe are just vanilla and boring, and yet he's giving me 5 shows a week. So what does this say about his leadership and his competence that he's doing this? I'm Jeremy Lambert, everyone. Welcome, everyone, to the NXT post show here on Fightful, joined by my man Phil Lindsay from Sports Keto, Bleacher Report, all over the interwebs. Phil, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. Yes, Kyler. Sean was here, so I don't have to do the ad read. He has no trust in me to do these ad reads. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Phil, NXT TakeOver tonight. I thought this was a fantastic show. What did you think of the overall show?
I thought it was a really good show overall. Some really good surprises, really good matches, good stuff all around.
We started off with the Capitol Wrestling Center. It's the Performance Center, but they NXT'd it up we'll say. They added a cage, which is still behind plexiglass, so now you got an extra barrier there. They added a bunch of lights. They got a big video board now. Looks like the NBA screen with the video board. What'd you think of this new look on the Performance Center with NXT?
I actually like it more than the Thunderdome. I think it's cool to still have the virtual fans, but it's not as noisy. It's not as flashy. They still tried to keep the gate, to keep the, you know, gritty feel to it. But I like it a lot.
I liked it as well. I thought it was very suiting for NXT. Triple H said it was going to be like heavy metal, and this was certainly like heavy metal underground kind of feel. This is what Triple H, he loves to do. So I thought it looked great. As a NBA fan, you know, we watch these NBA games. I'm trying to talk about NBA, not NXT tonight. when we watch these NBA games, we see the giant video boards. And so that's kind of what I was used to in empty arena settings before even WWE went to the Thunderdome. So I thought it was kind of like that, but I really enjoyed this setup. All right, do you know, like, Capital Wrestling? Does that strike any type of nerve with you? Because that was WWF before WWF.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about the name. I just saw the news today. I didn't even know they were going to have the show there today.
Phil, what are you doing? This was announced on like Thursday night. They were going to the Performance Center.
I thought it was just going to be regular Performance Center. I didn't know we were going to get Cruiserweight Classic / Capital Wrestling.
Phil's doing, he's a famous feature writer now. He's off the news beat. He just doesn't care that they're moving to the Performance Center and stuff now.
It's too much news to keep up with in a week, man.
Look, I agree. We got a super chat from Jamie Aguilar. Says, any idea who the redheaded woman was at the commentary table? Definitely didn't look like Beth Phoenix. Yeah, Beth Phoenix and Stu Bennett were not actually there. They were there virtually, but next to Vic Joseph at the commentary table, there was just two stand-ins, and they couldn't get a blonde. They couldn't get a blonde for this.
So I was live streaming throughout this entire show, and a lot of chats were saying, that's Beth. And I kept going, guys, that's not Beth. So when it closed up to her, I was like, guys, that woman's not white. That's not Beth Phoenix.
they had no blonde. They couldn't just have like Candice LeRae stand in there for a little while. I guess she has dyed hair now. They have some blondes there. Come on, guys. Another super chat from Anakin JMT. Reminder, guys, get your super chats in. I'll read them on air. Best way to support the site. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Fightful. Head over to Fightful.com. Sign up to Fightful Select. I'm not going to bore you with 20 minutes of plugs like old Ross Sapp does out here. We're trying to get through this show. We're trying to talk some wrestling here. Anakin JMT says, good to see Phil. Started following him on Twitter when Jeremy said to follow him and Juan. Don't follow Juan. Great guy. But Phil, it's okay to call Justice League an abomination of a film. No one will be mad. What is this? Are you a Justice League fan here? What's going on here?
I rewatched Justice League last week for a podcast I was on. And I said it wasn't as serviceable as I thought, because that's when I first saw it. I was like, it wasn't too bad. So this time I saw it, I was like, oh, this isn't good. And then I said, but it wasn't terrible. And so somebody sent me a message. It was like, no, this was horrible. I don't know what you're talking about. It was terrible. I was like, okay. Sorry.
It might have been Anakin who sent you that message. And just,
it probably was.
Not a fan of your Justice League opinions. Joel Pearl says, the girl was Casey Lennox from MLW as the fill-in. Well, there you go. She should have dyed her hair blonde role. I'm actually shocked that Triple H wasn't like, hey, let's dye your hair blonde right fast for this.
Joel coming with the scoops.
Joel has the scoops. Always does. Hey, check out Joel and I. We've been game streaming the past couple of weeks. We played, what did we play this Friday? SmackDown vs. Raw 2009. We played that on Friday night. We did a Road to WrestleMania campaign mode. We're game streaming at Fightful now. I'm trying to quit writing about wrestling and just play video games. That's what I'm trying to do with my life. North American title match kicked off this show. Damian Priest, Johnny Gargano. Priest picks up the victory. Johnny Gargano kept going for the one final beat. And in the end, Priest countered it with the reckoning for the win. I thought this was a great back and forth match. I thought it was too early to take the title off of Priest, so I didn't think Gargano was going to win. But look, Gargano always delivers at these takeovers. And Priest has really found himself really before winning the North American title, but certainly during this run, he's done really well. What'd you think of this match, Phil?
So Before we get to it, I'm just going to say that this was the second best Johnny Gargano performance of the night. Because what we got later was just incredible. I'll get to that later. But this was the second best Johnny Gargano performance tonight. During this, I had the network kind of freezing on me. And it's been doing this thing now where it cuts the closed caption thing on. It's been doing that to me a lot where I have to go in and turn off the closed caption. So
what do you use to stream the network on?
Chrome.
Okay. I have no idea why it does that.
So during this match a lot, I was doing that, trying to turn the closed caption off and get it to stop breathing. But it was a good match in spite of that. Same as you, I didn't think Gargano was going to win here. I felt like it's way too soon to take the title off Priest. He just got going, really. He looked great tonight, other than the fact that, as someone else pointed out, it looked like he had on Rhea Ripley's pants.
I think Johnny Gargano, they went with like an anime theme. I don't know anything about that stuff. Someone in the chat, I saw it on Twitter, what it actually was, and I forgot. But someone in the chat, if you know kind of what the theme the Garganos were going for, let us know. Because you're more into anime than I am, aren't you, Phil?
Yeah, I couldn't figure it. I wasn't paying close enough attention.
All right. Yeah, I don't know anything about anime. JTG says, a super chat for Jeremy. A great show. Thank you. Thank you for sending a super chat. Everyone tweeted Sean with the hashtag Point God and let him know that we need the Point God shirt in the Fightful store. That's what we need. That's my mom wants it. My mom's birthday is in 2 days. It's all she wants for her birthday is a Point God shirt to represent her son. So let Sean know that we need that. So Damian Priest again gets the victory. Where do you see Priest going from here?
Hopefully this is going. Judging by some of the other wins and losses tonight, hopefully this is going to a feud with somebody else that's kind of on a rise, like Kushida maybe, or I would love to see Swerve move to the mid card and out of the cruiserweight.
Yeah, We'll get to Swerve a little bit later on. I think Priest still has something maybe to do with a Cameron Grimes. Maybe they can do that. I'm trying to think who else is potentially. It looks like Ridge Holland is getting kind of elevated past that. Kushida, maybe? Yeah. I mean, Kushida made a big impact tonight. I don't know if they want to do kind of babyface, but it's a little bit more blurred in NXT. But I feel like Kushida should get a push after this victory tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Gargano, we'll talk about both the Garganos a little bit later on, because I have thoughts on them. Kushida against Velveteen Dream. This match went about 10 minutes too long for me. It should have just been Kushida ripping his arm off and defeating him. But Kushida, almost a glorified squash. He just tore this man's arm to shred. Velveteen Dream got in a couple of hope spots. They did a Bronco Buster, which was... just look, whoever put that spot in the match should be fired. I'm just going to say that. Not just a terrible call. Velveteen Dream hit the Purple Rainmaker. Kushida kicked out. Kushida hit the hoverboard lock off the top. And then Velveteen Dream countered into the Dream Valley Driver, which was countered still into the hoverboard lock. Kushida wins. Kushida attacked him after the match. Look, the right guy won. The fire Kushida showed was great. I'm done with Velveteen Dream. The man shouldn't be employed.
Yeah, I thought it was a real shame that Kushida's first takeover match was marred by this. I mean, I think he still did really well, but it was just very distracting that he was wrestling Dream. I just don't understand why you're still putting him in prominent takeover matches. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, if you're going to keep using him, that's one thing, but you're using him in, you know, big matches like this on your pay-per-view. It's distracting. But I mean, it was a good match. I mean, I don't want to poo on a match just because I didn't agree with them still using him, but it just, I mean, even like, it took me a minute to realize he's doing a Doc Brown gimmick. he was trying to do the usual mind games that we would like before for Dream, but it's like, even that was distracting. Cause it's like, you're doing this stuff. Like, no, we're not on that anymore. Like it, you can't just move on like nothing has happened. Like you just can't do that.
Yeah. Some people seem, you weren't the only one confused by the Doc Brown gimmick there. I had a couple of people tweet at me, like, what is he going for here? Why did he dye his hair this color? Look, Dream, his presentation is fine. but as a person, he's not a good person. And so I hope this was an injury angle to take him off television. But even then, it's like, why is he on television in the first place? If they used it just to get Kushida over and they're going to do something with Kushida and turn him into the biggest baby face on the show, cool. I guess that's one way to capitalize on this dream stuff. But again, they shouldn't be doing this at all. Rob Wilkins sends a super chat. Says Cameron Grimes' hat should be Future Endeavor. Look, all hats are allowed. All right. We're not Future Endeavoring hats out here. Put on that birthday hat. I don't have it near me, but I would. Hats are mandatory on the Distraction this Thursday, by the way. So Kushida, again, I think he could do NXT North American title picture. We'll see what they end up doing with him. Velveteen Dream, I hope he's off my television for 20, 30 years, give or take. Give or take that. Go 20 or 30 years. Halloween Havoc is coming back, Phil. They did a big video package. It's on October 28th. It's going to be hosted by Shotzi Blackheart, apparently. Any thoughts on Halloween Havoc? NXT running with the old WCW gimmick there.
Now, besides my thoughts on them rushing to get every WCW property they can before someone else does, I think Shotzi is a perfect choice to host it. It's just, I mean, you couldn't have picked a better person to host it. I mean, she is red hot right now. I hope this means they're going to give her something big to do at the pay-per-view.
Look, this one, Great American Bash was rushed. All right. That one was announced like a week before the AEW show. And it was announced at like 9:40 or 9:50 right before the main event, just a throw in commercial. This one, at least they're given about a month on this. Yeah. And they made the proper announcement here. It seemed like there's actually plans for Halloween Havoc now. So at least that is good. Any Halloween Havoc memories from WCW?
I have just, of course, the Cruiserweight match, Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero.
So you went good. You went with a good match. My memories are like the cage match, the electrified cage, Chamber of Horrors, that was called. Chamber of Horrors. I think we're going to review that on the Distraction 1 week. The monster truck battle with Hogan and the Giant, where the Giant fell off of Cobo Hall. Like that's the Halloween Havoc stuff. Hogan and Warrior, great Halloween Havoc memories. You're like, great wrestling match. I'm like, I liked when the dude fell off the building. That was cool. Or I'm Bill the Butcher shocked. That's what I want to see from this NXT Halloween Havoc. If nobody's fallen off
the building,
yeah, why not? Why? Somebody should fall off of a building on October 28th. That's what I want. What's Robert Stone up to? Robert Stone can get embarrassed. I saw a Photoshop. Someone Photoshopped him like underneath Shotzi on the Halloween Havoc banner for NXT. That's what we need. I need Robert Stone doing something like incredibly wacky and over the top for Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, I hope we get the Giant Pumpkin. It is funny that they have made such a big to-do about beating WCW, and they have just nerfed everything that had made them great at one point. It's weird. It's a weird juxtaposition.
They made a big to-do about beating WCW, and then they're just making all their same mistakes that WCW did. the Abdullah the Butcher and the Electric Chair was Halloween Havoc. Again, that was the Chamber of Horrors match, and I love that. I wacky stuff. Anyone who's watched enough of me on all these shows that I do, you kind of get my humor and the kind of wrestling that I enjoy right now. This show just had great wrestling. Who the hell wants to see that? We need more people falling off buildings and stuff. NXT Cruiserweight title match, Santos Escobar against Isaiah Swerve Scott. Competitive match to start with. I thought Scott was looking really good. That Fosbury flop he pulled off was just fantastic. We had some interference from Legado de Fantasma at one point, but then Ashante comes out and helps run them off. Escobar gets the near fall. It looked like Santos gets the near fall with his finish, and it looks like everyone with the Phantom Driver, and everyone thought that, oh, well, Swerve's winning this. Swerve hits the house call, 450. Santos kicks out. They go to the outside of the ring. They go on the apron, and it looks like Swerve is trying to hit a German suplex on the apron, but he kind of like falls backwards because Escobar holds on. Swerve hits the back of his head on the ring post. And then back in the ring, Santos hit like a double underhook face buster, knee to the face, and picked up the victory. What'd you think, Phil?
Just judging by the story of this match just from NXT over the last few weeks, I was just looking at it like, okay, Swerve's got to win this match because you've built it up so much on Swerve going, once I get a fair match, I'm going to win. So I thought he's going to win tonight. So, but just something about the match, the way it started, I was like, okay, he's going to lose. So once you know that, it kind of took something out of it, but it was a fantastic match in terms of wrestling, like some really great spots. Just some of the reversals and counters in this thing were just spot on. I mean, even interference didn't take too much away from it. It was just great match all around. I do think it was a little overbooked towards the end. NXT seems to like their apron spots a lot right now. They do a lot of apron spots. But other than that, no criticism.
Yeah, the middle of the match with the interference, I could have lived without, especially they took way too long to set up the spot where Swerve does the Hurricane Rana onto the Legado de Fantasma, and then they kind of catch him, and then Swerve takes him out, and then Ashante comes out. So I thought that was a little muddy right there, but they picked it back up once they got back in the ring. When Swerve was going for, once they got back in the ring and Swerve was charging after him, and Santos hit the kick on him, I thought that was a great spot. And then the finishing stretch was great. The finish where he just kind of fell backwards into the ring post, I don't know. It made Scott look a little bit dumb, I thought. Yeah. And that was my issue with that. But overall, I thought that was a great match. I don't mind Santos winning. I think he's been one of the best things on NXT. I really like his presentation and the group he's got going on right now. I want to know where Tyler Breeze and Fandango were. You know, they're supposed to be helping out their boy, Swerve Scott, and then he's got a call on Ashante to come help him out. So where were you, Breeze and Fandango?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. We didn't have a tag title match tonight.
Yeah, I don't know if they're having a quarantine or anything like that. I've got no idea. But the fact that we didn't have a tag team title match, not that the NXT's tag division is much of anything right now. No. They've Imperium lost and Undisputed Era. I don't know what's going on. Can you name me another NXT tag team besides the three that I just named? Nope. Phil's banned NXT as well.
Ooh, Grizzly Young Vets.
Are they in NXT?
They were there for a minute. I don't know if they went back to UK.
All right. I would assume, again, they're probably quarantining, but hopefully they're back on television soon. I do like Tyler Breeze and Fandango. I'm glad they are getting this title run. It sucks that it's having to come under these circumstances where they can't be on television for the time being, and the NXT tag team division is just not great right now. Reminder, guys, leave a super chat. Get your question or statement read on air. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a thumbs up on the channel. All that stuff really helps us out. Hey, if you're not listening on YouTube, if you're listening on Apple or any other podcast platform, leave us a good review. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple and iTunes. I know we do the majority of our work on YouTube, but hey, if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple, that helps people find the spot as well. Queen Hannah says, I like Tyler Breeze too. I know this. I know that. All right, let's. We got the women's title match. Io Shirai, Candice LeRae. They're having a great match, I thought. And then the double ref bump. Johnny Gargano comes out. He's got a referee outfit on. He tries the fast count, and Io kicks out, which I thought was great. I like that he tried the fast count. I like that Io kicked out, puts her over strong there. The referee finally wakes up, and he is mad that Gargano has stolen a shirt. He wants his shirt back. I don't know if it was a fellow referee's shirt. I don't know if it was his shirt, but he just wants the shirt back. As that's going on, Candice has the title. Candice hits Io with the title, another near fall, but Io kicks out. Io hits the Spanish fly, then hits the moonsault, gets the victory. The best part about this, you alluded it to earlier, Phil, after Io kicked out on the near fall from the title shot, Gargano's reaction just falling over on the ramp and just like his sell of this was amazing. I hated the double ref bump, hated the interference. Gargano's reaction almost made it worth it. What do you think of this match?
This was probably one of the best hissy fits I've seen thrown in wrestling ever.
Shawn Michaels-esque right there.
Right up there with Billy Kay's tantrum after they lost the tag titles. This was amazing. I was talking to someone right before the match, and when Johnny came out, it kind of proved true. I don't really buy into Candace as a heel. I think everything interesting about her as a heel is her pairing with Johnny. So when Johnny came out and he tried to interfere, and then he did the, you know, tried to slide her the belt, all of that stuff was fine. But other than that, I'm not really into her as a heel. I don't know.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, other than that, the match itself was good. Probably not as good as their other takeover match.
No. I didn't think it was as good as their other takeover match either. And I think the interference and kind of that kind of hokiness hurt it in that regards compared to the other one, which was just like balls to the wall action all throughout. My issue, I love Candice LeRae. She's my favorite thing in NXT. I think she's the best thing in NXT. I don't like that she's almost reduced to Mrs. Gargano a lot. Yeah. And this was kind of another case of it here. I think that Gargano, both of them, could be main roster bound. I don't know what you're doing with these two in NXT after tonight. Like Candice, we're going to get to the two kind of returns here in a second. I don't think Candice is winning the title anytime soon. Gargano's already won all the titles, and he just lost a title match here. There's really no place for them in NXT right now. I don't know how they would do on Raw and SmackDown, but I just don't know what else they can do in NXT. At least Raw and SmackDown, you got fresh matchups for them. And both of those women's division needs something, because like SmackDown, Bayley's run through everybody. Raw, they're reduced to, and I love Zelina Vega, they're reduced to just having a manager in Zelina Vega challenge for the title, because Asuka's kind of almost run through everybody. So I would move them up to the main roster and then just start fresh with them, because I don't know what else they can do with NXT.
Yeah, NXT's women's division is kind of overstacked at the moment. It's kind of crowded. But to me, I think the best chance they had of putting the title on Candace was the premiere episode on USA. I thought that was the match. If you were going to put the title on her, you should have just had her beat Baszler. But after that, she's been just kind of there until the heel turn. And I mean, even the heel turn is just kind of like, oh, we'll give her this. And it's like, okay, well, where's it going? It just doesn't feel like it's going anywhere.
Yeah, I think she'd be great as a heel. I think Candace would be great at anything she does. Yeah. I don't want her reduced to just Mrs. Gargano the entire time. I would actually like to, if you're going to move them up, split them. They won't do that because they're married, and like that's one thing WWE does well is they keep married couples together. They'll take away your Twitch streams and all your money avenues and all this stuff, but they'll at least let you be on the road. They're not even on the road now. They'll at least let you be on the same show as your significant other. So kudos to WWE for that. But I don't like that she's just reduced to Mrs. Gargano so often, because she's an incredible performer on her own. So big fan of Candice LeRae. I hope she succeeds, whether it's NXT, Raw, or SmackDown. And Johnny's fine too. Whatever. Mr. Takeover, Johnny Gargano. After the match, Toni Storm comes up on the big screen and says she's back in NXT. Great. Great to see Toni Storm back. Then we get the vignette for the mystery Call of Duty biker. I think that's what they're going for here with the Randy Orton is shooting these videos with his night vision goggles. that's what happened here. He's producing these videos. And then this person arrives. They were already at the performance center. They go around to the back. They enter, comes out, takes the helmet off. Ember Moon back in NXT. We got Toni Storm and Ember Moon back in NXT. What do you think, Phil?
I was very, very happy about the Ember Moon reveal, because I assumed she was still hurt, and I had just, you know, plug, just wrote something about Ember maybe yesterday. So I was like, boy, it would be good to see her again. And then here we go. Next day she's here. And then definitely was a good decision to move her back to NXT. I always thought the way that they prematurely moved her from NXT, I thought, not having her beat Asuka when you had the chance to really cement her as a star and make her into a big deal really hurt her in some ways. So, you know, just putting her back on NXT and getting her in some fresh matchups and, you know, reminding people why she was over in the first place, because she's a good wrestler, is the good move. It's the right move.
Where can people find this Ember Moon article? If you're going to plug, you know, throw the website out there and everything.
Okay. So, I just wrote a piece on the 10 best finishers for Bleacher Report. And, you know, spoiler. And
Ember Moon was there.
Ember Moon is on it.
We don't have to give away the number. We want people to still click the article. But if we're going to plugs here, Phil, you know, we're gonna get them out there right so we can lead people in the right direction. Not just, hey, I wrote this article. Follow Phil on Twitter as well. That way, what's your Twitter handle, Phil?
It's PhilDL616.
There you go.
That's it.
There you go. We'll plug everything again in the end. But again, we're going to do this right if we're going to throw out these plugs here. Ember Moon, it is great to see her back because, you know, the way she was talking is she thought her career might be over. She ruptured her Achilles, like tore it clean off on a stupid 24/7 title chase spot. Like, that is how this woman got injured. Just so dumb, so unfortunate. Terrible. For her. And she never got the traction she probably deserved on the main roster. I've never been like the biggest Ember Moon fan. I think her in-ring work is fantastic. My issue with her has always just been like, what's her character? And she said this too. This isn't like a me criticism thing. Like, she's even said this. She's just been like, I think I'm like a Sheenom, but like, what does that actually mean? What are my motivations? What is my goal? And hopefully they establish some of that now. And maybe her goal is just, hey, I want to be the NXT Women's Champion. You know, I want to prove that, you know, who I was on the main roster isn't who I am in NXT. Like, whatever it is, you just got to establish some type of motivation for her. So I'm glad she's back. I'm mainly glad she's back because it means she's healthy and she's going to be wrestling again, because the way she was talking, it didn't sound good. And then Toni Storm, again, this is another female who in NXT UK, she was killing it. In brief run NXT, she's great. She's very young. She's very talented.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And now she's going to get a chance with this roster. This roster is so good. Like, assuming Candace stays, they have Candace, Io, Storm, Ember, Dakota, Reyna, Rhea. Like, just those names right there.
You've got Santana Garrett somewhere not working. I mean,
unfortunately, Tegan Nox just got hurt. Very sad news about Tegan Nox. They always have big plans for her. And then, unfortunately, her knees just not in the best of shape. Hopefully Tegan can heal up, come back sooner rather than later. But even without Tegan, like they have so many, like even like Casey is there, Caden, just like under the radar women who you can still do something with. Shotzi, like this women's division is too crowded. NXT should just be like the women's division and then throw in like a Finn Balor match every now and again, maybe. That would be how I'd book NXT anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Tony is going to be a great addition. She had pretty much done everything she could with NXT UK at this point. And I didn't feel like they were going to give her anything significant on the main roster. So this was probably the best decision.
Yeah, I did. Again, the women's division, it's a good problem to have when you have that many talented women on your roster. Get into the main event. We had the Ashante Adonis promo. I thought this was actually good because it established kind of who he is and his motivation and the way he spells. He spells kind of like I do. Not great.
I was distracted when he first came in because he had this huge bubble goose on. I'm like, you're in Florida, buddy. Like, okay, where are you going with this bubble goose?
He spelled ritual, R-I-C-H-U-A-L, Rich-U-A-L. I'm pretty sure that's how he spelled it.
So, like the Street Profits spell profit like profits.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I mean, that's not how you spell ritual, I don't think. I'm pretty sure it's R-I-T-U-A-L. This is why I use a grammar checker, because I have no idea how to spell. But, you know, it established who he was. We saw him earlier in the night. And so it's good that he's got some type of character out of this. And then there's just some guy. Because he's been on NXT a couple times. And the former Tahuti Miles. And we didn't really know who he was. Just kind of a guy who got a name change. This helped establish him a little bit. So I thought this was a good placement for this promo. So good on you, NXT, for letting us know who these people are. Main event, Finn Balor. Kyle O'Reilly. First off, I love the backstage walk that they do. I think like the most famous one of this, at least from my memory, is WrestleMania 14 with Michaels and Austin, where they're walking to the ring, and it's always that same music. People associate it with like the cage lowering music. I've always just associated it as the backstage walk music. It makes it feel like kind of big time. So I really like that right off the bat. As far as this match goes, like these two men just beat the snot out of each other. All right, that's the best way I can put it. Balor was targeting the ribs. He hit a spin kick to the ribs that O'Reilly sold just absolutely beautifully. And then the rest of the match, Balor is just going after those ribs, trying to slow him down, you take away the body, you take away the mind. And O'Reilly was going after the legs of Balor, setting him up for the heel hook. And also, you take away the legs, he can't leap off the top rope with the same energy. When he hits his stomps, it's not going to be as effective. He's going to hurt himself when he does it. So just great targeting by both men in this match. And they just beat the hell out of each other. The finishing sequence kind of saw with O'Reilly going with the heel hook. And then Finn got to the bottom rope. O'Reilly went for a German suplex. Finn kind of he hit it, but Finn just kind of no-sold, rolled out of it. And then hit a stomp, went up to the top, coup de grace, got the victory. Finn was bleeding from the mouth. It looked like he bit his tongue on the double stomp after the German suplex. I feel like that's what it came from. But yeah, this match was just a tremendous, tremendous hard-hitting affair.
Yeah, I mean, you knew going into this match it was going to be good, and it was really, really good. Easily match of the night. I was like you at once Finn started bleeding from the mouth, it was a little distracting. I was like, when did that happen? Because it didn't look like he got hit in the face. Maybe he, like you said, bit his tongue or bit his lip when he came out of the suplex. I don't know. But yeah, just really, really good technical match. We don't get to see Finn wrestle this technical that often, at least we got used to the style of matches he was doing on the main roster. So we hadn't seen him wrestle this way in a while, and it was definitely a breath of fresh air. If you don't know how well O'Reilly can wrestle and his technical style, I mean, we've seen it in tag matches. If you're not familiar with his ROH stuff, it's kind of, I'm sure that was jarring for some people, but for the earlier this match, he got beaten on for like a good 10 minutes of this match, just relentlessly beat on. So when he finally comes back and he's and he's showing a gutsy comeback. He sold it really, really well. Finn sold the knee injury really well too. It just really, really good stuff all around.
What I love is that everything in this match made sense. So many times in these longer matches, and this kind of happened in the Keith Lee Karrion Kross match last month, is they'll like do limb work that just doesn't go anywhere. And by the end of the match, a guy, his arm's getting targeted for the first 10, 15 minutes, and then he just uses his arm like it's a normal thing. I mean, Sasha Banks is out here just, let me hold my neck. It kind of hurts, and it doesn't mean anything. Balor going after the ribs in the midsection, O'Reilly going after the leg. It all made sense. The selling was great throughout. I love the counters that both men had for each other. You can tell that they're longtime fans of each other, and they studied tape, I guess would be the right thing, because the counters they kept doing were fantastic, and the different transitions and stuff, just an excellent, excellent professional wrestling match. Kyler James said in the chat earlier, like, Jeremy hates pro wrestling. I don't hate pro wrestling, right? I love great pro wrestling, and I love horrible pro wrestling. I don't like pro wrestling that's just like, all right, that's pretty mediocre. We can watch this any time of the week. Wrestling is so good now that a lot of it just feels kind of the same to me. So yeah. I need like really great matches that stand out like this and make me feel invested, or I need something that's like really bad that I can just like laugh at and get some jokes off on. This was a really great professional wrestling match. No bullshit either. I think a lot of people, including myself, were worried that, oh, Cole's going to come out, Roddy, Fish, they're going to come out. There's going to be some type of Undisputed Era shenanigans. Are they going to do a turn? You know, Cole going to screw up and cost them the title? What's going to happen? None of that. Clean finish. They shook hands. They showed some respect after the match. Love that. Give me that stuff. Don't bullshit me with DQs and just like the women's title match, double ref bump stuff. I don't need any of that. Just let these people go out there and just have a great wrestling match.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, if anything, I would say the aftermath with Holland and the Cole, it didn't really feel needed. Because I felt like the match was good enough on its own, and I just think like the sign of respect stuff was good enough on its own. You could have ended it there. And I mean, there wasn't much you can do with this match other than what we got. It was perfect as is.
Yeah, they did the logo flash that, you know, NXT is kind of infamous for. Logo, the ending screen, and then we had Ridge Holland carry the lifeless, limp body of Chugs Adam Cole to the ring. Chugs just looked like he went through a 5-hour game of Uno, and then Ridge Holland had to carry him to the ring, dump him on the floor, and then Strong and Fish are coming out, and they're like, what happened? What did anybody see what happened? Get medical. Like, why weren't you with this guy? You guys are all friends and stuff. You weren't backstage watching this match together. Adam Cole went to the bathroom, I guess, and got jumped by Ridge Holland. That's the only thing I could think of. Like, at some point, they had to leave each other's side, right? And then Ridge Holland beat the hell out of them. And then I guess Fish and Strong were just so invested into this match, which I don't blame them. They're like, man, Cole's been gone for like 20 minutes. Hope he's okay. It's like, you know, hope nothing bad happened to him. Then next thing they know, they see him just being dumped ringside by Ridge Holland.
Yeah, my favorite part of this was them going to Finn and going, what happened? And he's sitting there, he's sitting on the mat still selling his knee injury and bleeding from his mouth like, I don't know.
Finn and O'Reilly are like, dude, we just wrestled this 30-minute match. We're not keeping tabs on Cole. That's you guys' job. That's what y'all are supposed to do. It looks like Ridge Holland is going to be kind of a big player in NXT now. What do you think of what they can do with Undisputed Era? Because there's been a lot of theories out there on who's going to turn, how it's going to happen. What do you see for Undisputed Era in the coming weeks?
Well, the thing that I thought that was interesting in this, and the small subtle thing that I noticed, is when they were all standing around trying to figure out what was going on with Cole, if you look at O'Reilly, he's sitting on the apron and he's just kind of like, what is this? Like, and you could tell that he was slightly annoyed. I don't know if I was reading too much into it, but That was the subtle hint that I got from this.
I think they've been kind of hinting at that, like, Cole is kind of disgusted almost that, like, he's not the champion. And that kind of even O'Reilly is getting this opportunity. Like, obviously, he's supporting his boy and everything, but Cole has always been sort of the centerpiece of Undisputed Era. So seeing someone else kind of get that opportunity, it's like, wait, you know, what's going on here? So a lot of speculation that Cole would be kind of jumped out on this and turned babyface. I would just rather, like, why can't they just, like, go their separate ways for a little bit? Why does it have to be any type of turn? Why can't Cole just... Wrestling. What's that?
Because it's wrestling. And yeah, everybody wants to book a turn. Everybody wants a barbershop window.
Yeah, I mean, it is true. But, like, why can't Cole just, like, go to the main roster, do, like, a run, Fish and O'Reilly go up there, breathe some life into that damn tag team division, either one on WWE, and then they just get kind of called up, like, staggered, almost in, like, a wave, or go up together. I don't think groups always need to be split up. And New Day is a big proponent of this, of just like, hey, Kofi can do a singles thing. We can support, kind of take like a back seat, and but still be a group. Like, that's what you can do. Not everything has to be a turn. People are just good people sometimes. They don't have to turn on anybody. They don't have to turn on their friends.
Yeah. And I didn't see anything where I felt like Cole is just going to turn on him. If anything, like, I just saw that little bit of hint that it looked like O'Reilly was a little annoyed. But I could see them turning the entire stable in the faces, because, I mean, they're the most popular act on the brand anyway. So I can see that. But I don't know. I mean, I'm a little worried about them moving up to the main roster, because they don't book tag teams really well in the main roster.
They don't book anybody well in the main roster unless you're Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did think about tonight. You don't really see anybody kick out of the coup de grace. So when he hit the coup de grace, I knew it was over.
Yeah.
So you don't, I mean, when I really think about it, like, Roman's even lost to the coup de grace.
That's a move they protected. They protected, like, that, Corbin's finish, which at some point they're going to have a bunch of people start kicking out of that. The Claymore outside of, like, Brock, that's pretty heavily protected. They are good for the most part at, like, protecting some of those top tier finishers when they want to. So, you know, good on them for that. Undisputed Era, I don't know what this Ridge Holland stuff is. I've not seen enough of Ridge Holland to know if this is all going to work out. Like, that Gargano match was fine, but he also nearly killed poor Johnny Gargano in that match. So, well, but if anybody can get a good match out of him, it's obviously going to be Adam Cole. Adam Cole got a great match out of Pat McAfee. I mean, Pat McAfee held his own, but yeah, I think there are more baby faces now as well, especially after the Pat McAfee stuff. Like, McAfee was blatantly the heel in that match. So I think Undisputed Era, definitely baby faces. But then you're on the heel side for NXT. Like, who are your top heels in NXT? Karrion Kross is out. Like, who are, like, the big time heels in NXT?
Well, I think the sleeper heel is Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes is probably one of the funniest heels in the company at the moment. Other than that, I mean, you're hotshotting Imperium over when they're there. Other than that, I mean, because Finn's not a heel anymore. I don't know what he is now. He's a tweener, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Finn is really a heel. So that's the only problem is, and they've created this problem on SmackDown, is like, they don't have any, like, great baby faces to challenge Roman. Like, people want the Fiend to be a baby face, and, like, he ain't the baby face to challenge Roman Reigns. Okay. You need like a peer baby face, like a Kofi, a Biggie, the Usos, like those guys, Kevin Owens, like those guys can challenge Roman. Ronnie, guys, get your super chats in. We got a couple super chats from Evan Wright. Evan Wright says, just want to leave a hashtag point God. Thank you. And Phil appreciation super chat. Love the Phil insight into the world of wrestling and wish all the best. Evan Wright also says, top babyface Damian Priest, baby. I mean, they got enough baby faces. Hey, yeah. Turn Damian Priest heel. They have way too many baby faces on NXT right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've got the opposite problem in their women's division. They've got so many heels in the women's division. Like, there's barely any faces, like Shotzi, I guess, and Rhea.
Yeah. I mean, isn't Io, like, technically a face?
They do this thing now where they just don't even acknowledge his turns anymore. They just are kind of not heel anymore. Cause that's kind of what they did with Finn. He's just kind of not a heel anymore.
Like I'm fine with like Shades of Grey stuff because not everything is black and white. Like Roman Reigns is a heel, but for his motivations, he thinks he's justified. So like, I'm fine with that kind of stuff. But if you're going to like set something up as a turn and then kind of just ignore it a couple months later, it gets confusing. Where if it's something like a Cody thing, then it makes more sense where it's like, all right, he's a babyface, but he kind of doing some heel stuff sometimes. Like, then it blur, or not Cody, Kenny Omega. Like, then it blurs it a little bit better. Don't just do like an outright turn like they did with EO, like they've done with Gargano, and then just like ignore it because shit, we don't have any baby faces left for them to fight. So now they're a baby face because they're fighting a heel, which is kind of what happened with EO during like the Charlotte stuff and then the Candace stuff.
Right, right. Yeah. I definitely think that's a major issue on NXT as a whole. Like, it's not like before where they let a lot of these turns and storylines breathe. It's just everything is immediately on to the next thing. Like, this person turned, okay, we're immediately on to this. Or, oh, this person won a championship. Okay, let's immediately jump off that and let's immediately have them drop the title. Everything just happens way too fast on NXT right now.
Yeah, once you drop the title, you just like automatically turn. They're going to bring Karrion Kross back as a babyface, even though I think he was a heel in that Cole feud, or in the Keith, he was definitely healing the Keith Lee stuff. He's just going to come back as a babyface. He's going to get the big reaction once his shoulder's injured and stuff. Shoulder's healthy, I should say. George Yamin says Tommaso Ciampa is a heel. All right. I mean, if he's a heel, then that can certainly be your top heel. I don't know what they're doing with Tommaso Ciampa right now. I have no idea.
I think they're spinning their wheels with him and Gargano because they don't want to move up. And they're trying to justify reasons for them to still be on NXT, but there's nothing really left for them to do there.
Yeah, I don't think, as I said, I've pushed for Gargano to go up to the main roster, especially after this show. Ciampa is kind of the same thing. Like, I don't know what else you're doing in NXT, man. And it doesn't seem like they've got any type of big plans for you. I would love like a proper Ciampa-Balor feud. I think that would be really great. I don't know if they're going to do it, but they are lacking heels right now. So Ciampa would certainly make sense in that spot. The Nerd Guru says Rhea should go to the main roster. She was done once she jobbed to Charlotte. I mean, she should have beaten Charlotte and then just like stayed on the main roster. But yeah, they can heat Rhea back up pretty quickly, but she seems down in the pecking order compared to, I mean, Ember's back and Toni Storm's back. I would imagine Rhea's behind both of them.
Yeah, they set Rhea up to fail, man. When she lost at Mania, she's just been kind of directionless ever since then. I thought she looked great in a cage match, and that at least righted the ship and gave her a big win. But I don't see her winning the title again. I don't see her jumping ahead of some other people that are hotter than her right now. Like, I would say that Shotzi's in a better position than her right now.
Yeah, I mean, Shotzi's right. I mean, Shotzi's getting her own show. She's getting Halloween Havoc, for Christ's sake. She's going to be the host. They've done some damage to Rhea. I know that Triple H said, like, she's going to be the biggest thing in the business in, like, 5 years. You know, she's going to be untouchable and stuff. Like, she was not the biggest thing in the business, but she was right there when she won the title in December. Like, that closing moment with her, she was right there. She was the biggest thing in NXT at that time. And then they completely killed that momentum right after that. So just not good what they've done with Rhea in 2020 compared to what they did with her at the end of 2019. Rafael Garcia, since Superstat says, Rhea may lose to Raquel Gonzalez, setting her up as a big heel. They don't need to turn Rhea heel. Like, they don't need to do all that.
Well, yeah, because the problem is, now that Rhea's still there, you're bringing Tony in. Are you going to rehash Tony and Rhea stuff again? You don't want to do that. I just still don't see why they didn't just give her the win over Charlotte. I mean, if you're going to give someone a big win over Baszler, who had been champion for close to a year, and then, you know, a few months later, it just doesn't matter, then what was the point of doing it? You had you had Candace right there. If you weren't going to give that win to Candace and make her the big face, and you're going to give it to Rhea, why didn't you just let her run with it?
Oh, it's been clarified that they're setting up Raquel as the big heel by beating Rhea. That's fine. I mean, they need kind of that big heel. So I'm okay with that. And then Dakota, I love Dakota. I think she's super underrated, and they should probably do a little bit more with her. But
she's another one that I didn't understand why they turned her. She just didn't need
her. I mean, she's been great as a heel. Like, I think she's been very good. And it's just, I don't know. And I like the pairing with Raquel Gonzalez as well. But they need heels right now, because Io's sort of a baby face. I feel like Tony's a baby face. I feel like Ember's going to be a baby face. Like, Rhea, unless they do turn her, she's a face. Shotzi's a face. Like, Dakota and Raquel are kind of like their only two heels. So they need to push them at this point, because they're kind of running out of top heels who can really challenge the upper echelon. When it comes to their baby face. George Amin says WWE has a hard time booking baby faces. They had a hard time booking a lot of people sometimes. So,
But is Tony a face though? Because she was the heel in the Rhea match at Worlds Collide.
That was the baby. I mean, Tony's been off television for so long that it's tough to tell. And when she comes back, I feel like she's at least gonna get like the face reaction. And you know, they're at the performance center. They can tell them how to react however they want. But, you know, she'll get the baby face reaction because she's just back after a long time off of television. And then what she does after that, who she goes after, will kind of establish things. But that's the thing. Somebody like Io isn't really established on either side. I guess she's a baby face. So if Tony goes after her, maybe that makes her a heel. But Ember's going to go after Io, but Ember's going to be a baby face. And it's a lot of shades of gray stuff. And they're just like turning people without a rhyme or reason and then just kind of forgetting about it. So I don't know. What can you do with that? How would you book? Would you have Ember take the title off of Io?
I think that Ember got the short end of the stick with her first reign. I don't think she got the star making win that she should have gotten. Winning a vacant title didn't do for her what beating Asuka could have done for her. She didn't have a character that worked well enough, and giving her that win over Asuka gave her a hook. Right. And without that, she kind of just floundered until Baszler beat her, and then she just went to the main roster and it was even worse. So, I mean, that's not to say she was a bad champion, but I think you've got to give her something. You got to give her a big win or something to establish her for coming back to NXT.
Let's wrap things up here. Overall thoughts on the show. I've seen some people on the timeline call this the greatest pay-per-view ever. And I'm calling you out, Denise Salcedo, because you're the one who said this. I love Denise. She's my favorite person on Twitter, but I feel like that's what do you call it?
Hyperbole.
I mean, it is hyperbole, but recency bias. That's the term I was looking for. Well, I got some recency bias. She just watched the show. Greatest pay-per-view ever. I don't know if I'd go that far. It was a fantastic show, though, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic show. I still think Clash of Champions is up there, top pay-per-view this year.
Really?
I really enjoy Clash of Champions. I thought SummerSlam was better than this, too. I honestly thought this was good, but in terms of what we've seen from TakeOvers, like what you said with the women's match, like that was some raw shenanigans in a TakeOver match. Like that's why the other Candace EO match was better, because it was more of a TakeOver match. This felt like something we could see on a main roster pay-per-view.
Yeah, I thought all these matches were great. Like, I don't have any complaints of the matches. I questioned some of the spots in the matches, but overall, the matches were great. I thought the main event was awesome. Up there with Reigns and Uso for me. I liked Reigns and Uso a little bit more because I was just more invested in that match. But as far as like technical wrestling goes, like this match was better than that match. It's all based on kind of what you like. But I thought this pay-per-view was great. Denise is wrong. It's not the let me get her exact wording here. I don't want to bury Denise saying she called it the best pay-per-view ever, and then turns out she just called it like the best takeover ever was her hyperbole. But Denise called it best WWE pay-per-view of the year. Okay. So there you go.
I don't agree with that.
All right. Well, that's what she says. She says best pay-per-view of the year. I might agree with that, actually.
I don't even think it's the best takeover of the year. Do you?
Portland was really good. I remember Portland. It was better than the last takeover. I don't think. That was like one of their weakest takeovers. Portland was really good. I'm trying to think of other like great shows this year. SummerSlam was good.
In Your House?
Yeah. I don't remember In Your House too much, to be honest. Look, it was a good show tonight. All right, I'm not going to bury Denise anymore. Denise is right. Like, Denise is a big star now. She's riding high. She's got 30 shows a week that she does. You can just say all these things, and people just agree with her because, again, she's the top star on Twitter. My favorite person on Twitter. She's wrong. She's still wrong on this.
I'm fine with this take on the pay-per-view, but that pizza take is hot garbage. Hot, smoldering garbage.
Oh.
Do not put ranch on pizza, people. It's not belong on pizza.
I don't put ranch. I put ranch on a lot of things, but I don't put ranch on my pizza. But look, Denise enjoys what she enjoys. She wants to dip her ranch into her pizza. Dip her pizza into her ranch. That's what makes her happy. More power to her. Denise, we love you. Hope you're doing. I'm sure she's probably doing her own show tonight. We're probably going head to head. Actually, you know what? Don't watch Denise's show. Watch our show.
Counter programming.
Yeah. Don't watch that. Watch us, everybody. Denise will be on the post Raw show tomorrow with Sean. I think. I mean, I assume so. He'll probably just call on me to do it. That's what he does. What Sean does. He's like, oh, can't do this. Hey, Jeremy, go do this show for me. Like, no problem, Sean. I got nothing better to do, but just, you know, whatever you need me to do, Sean. Phil, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter. My handle is PhilDL616. You can also find my writing at Bleacher Report and SportsKeeda.
Evan Wright says, Wrestle Kingdom is the best pay-per-view of the year. Fight me. Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom, that didn't take place in 2020, though. That took place in, like, 2012, right? That's how long ago it feels like Wrestle Kingdom was. I don't remember what happened on that show. And that was a two-night event, too.
The night, both main events were better than anything we've seen anywhere else.
Yeah. Yes, Denise does have, like, a podcast every single day of the week. Denise is a giant star, all right? She's too big to do our show now, so... everyone on Fightful Select, Sean's breaking news every day. You get interviews, early access to interviews. Ben Carter interview is up. You get a bunch of other podcasts. The Weekender with Steven Jensen, Alex Bilowski, Sour Graps, which is great. Sign up for Fightful Select, $5 a month, bunch of news, bunch of extra podcasts, early access to interviews. Great way to spend $5. Get that cup of coffee at Starbucks one day. It won't kill you. You know, it won't kill you. Just get the cup of coffee. Sign up for Fightful Select. It'll be all right. It'll be worth it. I promise. Look, if you're not sick of me yet, I don't know why, but I got Tuesday movie review with Joe Holbert. We got some movie with Rusev, Ziggler, and Kane. Out of Time, I think it's called. I don't remember what it's called, but this is what we're watching.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. We review all these movies and they're all just terrible. Like, some of them are like terrible in a great way and I love them. Some of them are just like boring and just that's it. Like, I have nothing to do, or I don't want to watch them. I don't even want to talk about them. That's Tuesday. Thursday, we're doing the draft live special, 6 p.m. Thursday. Myself, Joe Holbert, Jack Crosby from CBS Sports, and Robert O'Neill from the Robert O'Neill section of Twitter. We're doing a live big mess of a draft. I have no idea what to expect from that show. It's gonna be nuts. Joe and I are live streaming the TEW series, our first booking session Friday afternoon, assuming Joe's not a coward and doesn't tap out on that. I'll be on the SmackDown post show. Probably do some gaming stuff Friday night. Probably do some gaming stuff Saturday night. Yeah, tap the bell for notifications. We're doing Fightful game streams a lot now. It's supposed to be like once a week, and now I'm doing like three times a week. So when we go live, you know, sometimes just on a whim, but when we go live, if you're not subscribed, if you don't have the bell for notifications, you won't know. And then you won't be able to join us. You don't want to do that. You don't want to miss out on these game streams, Phil. We're streaming No Mercy, SmackDown vs. Raw. We're streaming all the old school games. What's your favorite old school wrestling game, Phil?
It might be No Mercy. No Mercy is the 64 game, right?
Yeah.
Yep. No Mercy.
We played some No Mercy. Myself and Robert DeFelice played some No Mercy on Saturday night. That was last night. Jeez. So yeah, tap the bell for notifications. When we go live for the game streams, you can listen to me rant about my personal life if that's something that interests you. Guys, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Until next time, till Friday or Monday, whatever day. Until Monday, when Big Star Denise Salcedo is back, that other guy is here as well. We're out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.